Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As you know, it's now or never. And as you know, there's no sign. There's no way. As a matter of fact, it is documented that as long as somebody possesses power, the only way they will relinquish that is through force, coercion. I mean, you have to somehow convince that person or that entity to surrender their power. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to put up a fight and they're going to do everything they can. And as a matter of fact, not only will they defend it, they entrench themselves. In other words, they create a system. So as you start looking at, you know, the elections and why is it that they've been stealing our elections and been able to, because they knew that that's what they needed to do to protect themselves. And so this is why, you know, the one thing they don't steal, they're not actively managing every county. They're not actively managing, you know, the state legislator per se, because they concede that there's just no way they can convince the people. Because it would, let's just say you have an overwhelming county and legislative district that is red. It would be suicide for them to play their hand to show that they could manipulate and change the outcome of an election that you knew would be stolen. They have to do it in such a subtle way that it creates this air of, did they steal it or is this legitimate? I mean, it has to be so plausible. When you look at, and this became so obvious to me in the 2012 election, that when you look at the counting and the votes and everything else, and they did all this research, and there was at least a minimum of 11 million evangelicals that refused to vote for Romney. At least 11 million. They estimated somewhere between 11 and 20-some million. So let's just, you know, split the difference. And let's just say 15 million. Now, when you go to the FEC and you go to the 2012 results of the election, and you look at, because you know as well as I do, they're equally guarding these congressional seats, because who has power in Congress is huge. This is why Senate seats are in multi-million dollar races, and Congress seats are in the millions as well. Or I should say representative seats, because they're both Congress, right? I get it. So anyway, when you look at how many people voted, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know it was this stark, that when you look at the numbers of votes that were total for the House of Representatives, and why do you look at the House of Representatives? Because they're up for election every 2 years. So in other words, everybody, every 2 years votes for their representative. So you compare how many total votes were in for the Republicans, independents, total votes cast for representatives in a given congressional district. Then you look at how many total votes across the board for all the different candidates for the president. The numbers should add up, because if not, then you have what we call an overvote. In other words, there obviously was a ballot out there that only had a vote for the president. And that means that they're potentially under? No. What that means is these are over ballots. So when you look at the outcome, and you look at, if I remember correctly, the Romney votes against the Obama votes was something like 6-10 million, something like that. The difference in the votes, 6-10 million. But you notice that in the presidential vote, there was over 5 million overvotes. In other words, there were 5 million more votes that were only for the president. Now, there were undervotes because I already told you that in the presidential race, there was a significant number of undervotes. So what does that mean? Remember I told you that there were 10 million, 15 million, actually, we split the difference, remember? 15 million undervotes because evangelicals refused to vote. And so let's just say 80% of these folks, 80% of these folks felt that there was nobody on the ballot that was worth voting for, which means that when you look at the amount of votes, when you look at the amount of votes for the House of Representatives, and you know that there were, we'll just say we're splitting the difference, so that's 15 to 10 million. I'll even go to the bottom side of this. 10 million undervotes in the presidential race with 5 million overvotes on the outcome. What does that mean? That means that there were 15 million overvotes and you were none the wiser because all of the undervotes for the presidency were basically overcome by the overvotes for the presidency by 5 million. Do you understand what I'm just saying? That means that those people who chose not to vote actually would have swung the outcome of that election. But there was enough division. See, this is what division does to us. Now, as much as I despise Romney and what he stands for today, he was far the better choice, and I think he was a far better person at that point in our republic. I believe something happened to him, and I have no idea what it was, but something happened to him to get him to become the dunce, the minion for Soros or the progressives, something, because he has nothing to do with what is constitutional. And I can't figure out what happened. I remember listening to his Sean Hannity interview at the very beginning when he and Hannity talked, got into some details on the Constitution and how important it was. I mean, I really thought that was it. This was a great guy. And the guy we got today is the epitome of a rhino, the epitome of, I mean, he is another John McCain. And I believe McCain deserves the title of a true wolf in sheep's clothing. So rhino kind of portrays this idea of somebody being decent. Now, I'm starting off on this election with some of the things that have happened, like the turncoat in the Democratic Party. And I forget her name, but she's now going to become an independent. Folks, I want you to start thinking about this because the Constitution requires that we have a Republican form of government. And I demand that you try to figure out and prove to me how we do not have a party form of government. Think about it. When we start looking at the Electoral College, when we look at our elections, the party is in control of everything. In other words, the party controls our politics and our government. When we look at the outcome of what this one Democrat is doing by flipping to independent, she's going to be able to keep her seats because the party controls the committee seats and who will chair. Since when? Since when have we allowed our politicians? Because you know what? It's not the Democratic Party that owns the Senate. It is an equally owned body that has every state representing two. What has happened is they've colluded into absconding the controls over our government. And as a matter of fact, you know, there's some real things that need to occur, but the easiest way to do this is using Republic Review, using First Amendment petitions by demanding full compliance of the Constitution. Because you know what? As I have portrayed this, and I've gone over this before, and we're going through this now, when we get through Republic Review and when we do this, and by the truth be told, I did not go into all the details of Republic Review. But when you actually take over a state, this is really important, so I want to cover this. When you actually take over a state demanding full compliance of the Constitution, if there's a Republican or Democrat in the body of your state legislature, it doesn't matter. Because anybody, whether they're Democrat or Republican, if they fail to support the Constitution and they vote accordingly to support an agenda and protect the party, then they instantly they're removed and they lose their seat. It's the same thing with anybody that is sitting in Congress. As the states start managing and overseeing every single politician that represents them, both in the Senate and in the House of Representatives, they cross the line. They fail to comply to the Constitution. They vote for something that is something that they have no authority, such as the budget or any of these things. They vote for it. The state can instantly pull it back and say, you just supported funding unconstitutional government. You're done. Do you understand the power of holding people accountable? When we have a constitutional government, this is why creating a constitutional county is the very first step. This is what we need you to do. You know, I don't live in every county, but this show can air in every county. And so I'm here to help you by having other people listening to this show so that they can start understanding the academic evidence of what needs to be done. Because if we all start demanding, we create a collective conscience on compliance. Well, I'm going to be right back after these two promos.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so this is why, you know, we can actually help you. And as a matter of fact, we haven't come up with the time and day yet. But what we're going to do is we're going to actually set up, because I already have free conference call. I refuse to use Zoom. Those of you who understand, Zoom is owned and controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, just like TikTok. There's lots of tech that is in bed with the Chinese Communist Party, such as Google, Apple, and the rest of these big tech companies. They're all working to push us and overthrow this individual sovereignty collective, or I should say independent sovereigns around the globe and move us towards a single government and single ruling body, you know, the old New World Order. So, and it's interesting how, you know, it's just, why is it that so many people go down this path? Why is it that there's this just huge desire for this? And, you know, one can only go down the path of going, you know, as a matter of fact, Aristotle said it best, because Alexander the Great, who was basically his protege, and Aristotle was his mentor. And so when Alexander the Great came to Aristotle and said, you know, why is it, and I'm really paraphrasing here, but he asked him, why is it that the people that have a nation of liberty, they have, you know, a good government, why is it that they always fall into the trap of trying to, you know, create a more powerful state and a state government where they end up succumbing to and actually surrendering to a tyrannical government? I mean, history was always proving that this is how it played out. That people would create a really decent government that respected individual rights and sovereignty and so forth. And then over time, the government would start centralizing more and more powers. And next thing you know, it was enslaving everybody. And so Aristotle basically explained it this way, because the family being the nucleus of society itself, the family is a deeply cherished entity, a deeply cherished body or organization. And the love of the parents and the desire to have a parental type of relationship, a child and parent of the people, and a good, this is why some people in the medieval times and later on moving towards our revolution felt that the best form of government was a noble monarchy, where the monarch would actually be one that would be compassionate and caring for the people. Can't have it, folks, because when they have that much power, it will never bode well for the people. So anyway, Aristotle basically said that it is just, I'm really paraphrasing, but the intent overall has been trying to adopt this family mode of governing, and it always gets corrupted because the parent, the father, there are good families out there. Are all dads bad? No. Are all mothers evil? No. So there are people that succumb, but 9 times out of 10, and this goes to even to a more modern adage, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so that was something that was better defining or providing better fidelity as to how we kept on falling into these trappings. Now, getting back to, you know, how we can help. So what we want to do is we actually want to have a call. And I'm going to dedicate an hour and a half, and we're going to record this call. And these are going to be questions and answers. And what we'll probably do is we'll at least probably post the highlights of these things on Reclaiming the Republic, so that when you listen to the common calls and what have you, and if there's a way I can get transcripts so that you could actually just kind of read, you know, or scour through the transcripts, because I would much rather do that myself. I mean, it's nice to have the audio file so that if you're driving, you could just listen. But when you're really looking for possibly citations or possibly, you know, it's very specific context or content, then, you know, having it into a text form is great. This is why I don't understand why our Congressional Globe and our Congressional Record has not been accurately transcribed into a text form. We've been able to do this in so many different ways. And when I say a text form that you can actually do a full search, copy, paste, you know, something that is editable, whether it be ASCII text, I don't care. PDF is inadequate. especially PDF images, is inadequate for our technology today. There's a reason why they haven't done this. Because the more you can scour through the original records and the original proceedings, because what ends up happening is they go down this path and they go, okay, we're going to do this. And then shortly after they do it, they go, you know what? You know, we could really take advantage if we said this could do this and this could do that. And we kind of redefined what these things really mean and what these things really do and are. And that's exactly how they do it. So anybody that tells you the 14th Amendment, going back onto Friday, anybody that tells you the 14th Amendment was designed to do, you know, take away your liberty and sovereignty, that is absolutely the furthest thing from the truth. What has happened is justices and politicians, bureaucrats and lawyers have come along and perverted what it really meant. This is why going through the congressional globe and listening to the proponents versus the opponents and how they define this 14th Amendment is clear. It is very clear. They were trying to create a world that gave everybody equal protection under the law. That was the design. That was the language of all of this. And that clearly was their intent as the proponents kept on arguing that they needed to be able to hold public servants accountable, so forth and so on. So anyways, what we need to do is we need to get back into this structure. And so kind of giving you a highlight. As you know, one person can really make a difference. All you got to do is take the time. So let me give you the old work formula. Force times distance equals work. So in other words, the only way you get things done is if you make calls. And you know, if you're going to try to get people together, you actually have to have a phone in hand and you have to dial phone numbers and you have to talk to a lot of people. That goes with a lot of work. There's way too many people today that are afraid to call people and afraid to just say, hey, we're going to have a meeting and we really need you to come and listen and attend. I'd like to get your insights. I'd like to get your ideas on this because we need to get organized. We need to unite if we're going to survive. If this republic and our liberties are going to survive and our sovereignty, then we need to unite. And so by having these little block meetings and by having, you know, community meetings and, you know, getting bigger and bigger to where you've got county meetings, then there you go. And this is how you start meeting people. These First Amendment petitions is not only your weapon, your attack. These are ordinances. These are mortars. These are artillery rounds. These are missiles that are literally attacking the corruption in your county, whether it be at your Walmart that won't let you petition there, or whether it be your sheriff, whether it be your county commissioner. Whatever it is, these First Amendment petitions will help one attack them, they land a punch, and they help educate people of how these politicians, how this business is violating your rights. So what these things do, these First Amendment petitions actually train and educate the people. Because when people read them, they go, man, I didn't really understand this. I didn't know this. How come we didn't know these things? And then it starts indicting the education system. This is how we educate and invigorate people in getting more involved and more involved. And so the more people that start understanding this, then they start coming on board. And one of the things you have to do, you have to make sure you set expectations. You have to let everybody know that these petitions by themselves will not create the end. And this is why we have to look and have to understand how Martin Luther was able to change the culture of the Germanic states. He didn't just change the culture of a small community and it just kind of grew. No, he changed the culture over a course of 10 years of the Germanic states, where the Germanic states stood up and unified and actually said, we're done with the Catholic Church. And started the Reformation of Christianity. That is how this is done, folks. I can't emphasize enough that we can't do this alone. We have to start including prayer. We have to start including the Lord and asking Him and His providence to bless us so that we can make all the decisions necessary. This is His will. This is His work. There's no doubt in my mind he wants us. I mean, he gave us his only begotten son who told us that we had to choose for ourselves. And this is why our government was created in this form of liberty, of freedom, freedom of choice, but the responsibility and accountability by having a government by the rule of law. I mean, I can't tell you enough. When you really start understanding this stuff, you're going to start seeing his DNA more and more in our constitutional republic, especially as we become more educated and invigorated. You know, you want to have a revival? We must actually start taking back our government and getting our government out of the business of regulating our speech, regulating our education, regulating our religious worship. They have no power. They can make no law to do these things. Anyway, we got a break. We're going to do these two promos. I'll be right back. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as I was just kind of explaining, we want to do these phone calls, and I want to get into some of the details of this. I haven't chosen the day of the week nor the time window, but what we want to do is, because I know it's going to take a little while for some people to, you know, kind of set aside that, okay, I'm going to dial in on this night so that we can kind of participate. I don't want to go into monologues. I don't want to go into, because the content during the week of this show should be enough. The questions should be, and what we want to do is we kind of want to capture this. So we may need everybody to try to write down, you know, their own question before you dial in so that when you get a chance to ask your question, you can kind of, as a matter of fact, I would just request that you send us an email, and that way we can actually have the question in hand so that when we look at each of the shows, or actually each of these phone calls, not shows, I can actually list your question and, you know, our discussion over that question. Because sometimes it's not just a cut and dry answer. There's usually some complexities, you know, party nuances, personalities, you know, paradigms and so forth. So I have a bad habit of going down rat holes, as you can tell, but that's more due to the fact that when we are, you know, doing a radio show and I want to give you more history and information, I think it's important that, or, well, I make the decision to go down the rat hole. So obviously I'm, you know, I think it's important, but it may not be important. I know there are some people, because I myself find, you know, sitting down and listening and listening and listening does not do me any benefit when people sometimes go down a rat hole when I'm seeking very specific information. And I believe that these phone calls will allow that to happen. What I'd like to do on Feedback Friday is include your questions in our discussions. Now, I'm not going to give anybody, anybody that dials in, like a progressive or somebody that just wants to create hostility and havoc and disarray, we're not going to tolerate that. Because I believe in being civil, and I, you know, and to be honest with you, I have really tried to reach out. I just want you to understand, I've reached out to the 10th Amendment Center. They won't come talk to me because they feel like I'm the pig and they're going to get dirty wrestling with me. Well, maybe that's true. Maybe if we actually go through the founding documents and find out exactly what was said by Madison over nullification and some of these other principles and so forth that have kind of taken on their own life and have completely transformed from a butterfly to a caterpillar. Well, okay, so that's not a butterfly. Well, it's a different stage of the butterfly, right? And my point is this, that as we, you know, go through this, you know, this process, and when I bring in these organizations, and just recently it was the Fair Tax Group, I've asked them to come on the show. I'd like them to talk about their strategy of how what they're doing will actually save America, will actually get this tyranny off of our throats. And, you know, I got some kind of anxious or, you know, some interest and feedback. I was talking to this gentleman. I don't want to mention names. But I was talking to a gentleman on Facebook. We were exchanging. And he goes, well, this person's out of country now doing this. Because this organization obviously has got some money coming in because the founder is being flown around to discuss and, you know, to help people understand this movement. And I'm going, huh, okay, well, that's great. That's great. That must mean that there's some real merit behind this. Let's talk. And so, okay, well, I was then going to be put into contact with somebody else. And I'm not getting a bite. So this is taking some time. I really hope they do come on. I hope that they come on and actually help everybody understand what they're really trying to do, what their end game is, how to do it, that type of information, so that we can kind of cut to the chase. Because if this really is the answer, and I'm just making way too much effort out of all of this, then I'm, you know, nothing would please my wife more than me becoming more productive and being involved in something that really works. And so if I can be involved in something that really works, then great. Then I can be more productive. And if it's something that, you know, truly is the truth, it will shine, because the truth does that. The truth will outshine everything else. That's how simple these things are. And I've yet to find anybody that is outshining anything with the truth. But that doesn't mean that this won't be the case. You have an organization, you want me to... I would love to have Anna Von Ritz on this radio show. And I'd love her to give me all of the citations of how what everything that the federal government has done has been directly tied to enumerated powers as defined by the framers. Because we don't have many powers that have been delegated. We've got a lot of roles and some responsibilities, but not powers that have been delegated to the federal government other than what's in the original Constitution. I mean, go through it for yourself. go through it for yourself and you'll find that there's not a lot of new powers. They don't have anywhere. They have no power to create a treaty that is, you know, within the enumerated powers to allow them to subjugate America to a foreign entity. They don't, the federal government was never delegated that authority. And so how is it that we have these they're illegitimate treaties? So anyway, let's get back into the roles and responsibilities, because these things are important, because there are administrative functions that we kind of need to understand. And we kind of covered these executive committees. So first off, since we've got this, you know, getting back on track to where we were, we started off as I was kind of explaining how one person can get this ball rolling. But you just need to understand that you need to be an educator. You need to have a little bit of understanding. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to be able to explain every answer. As a matter of fact, we're here to help. All you have to do is start, you know, learn. If there's people that want to learn and you're still learning, learn together. Play these shows. Play this content. Go through my articles. You will see. I can't say that my articles are heaven parting. I can't say that. But they do have academic evidence that proves everything that we've been taught and how things are going and how things are operating by our government, both local, state, and federal, are unconstitutional. And so I hope to actually have this next part of my book done, which is this article that I've been writing on the First Amendment petition that kind of covers these roles and responsibilities. And so what we want to do is we want you to get moving and getting work done. Remember, right? Force times distance equals work. So that means you're exerting something and you're actually going somewhere with it. So you're exerting, you know, you're reading and you're learning, but now that knowledge is nothing. It's not power until you act upon it. This information, this stuff that you can be doing has to be acted upon. You have to start talking to people. You have to dial up and say, hey, come on over and let's talk. And, you know, if there's any ways we can help you, send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We give you our phone number all the time, 425-270-5416. Just leave a message and you'll be surprised. I'll actually call you back. But anyway, when we go through this process of you standing up and getting the organizational framework, then you get some people started. Eventually, somebody's going to replace you. And don't worry about it, because when somebody replaces, you know, the fact that you're not doing the First Amendment manager, you're not being the First Amendment petition manager anymore, then that's great, because it frees you up to start doing other things. Maybe participating in the constitutional compliance, or actually starting to develop an infrastructure committee or a property committee, and so forth and so on. So all of the committees that are necessary for your organization, because you become the oversight of government. And these committees are actually starting to document what government is doing. And then you have to have the difficult conversation of, is this really what's best? And a good committee for this is infrastructure committee, because government plays heavily in infrastructure. Are your roads, are what they're doing for your roads the best for you? Are you better off having bypasses or overpasses and bridges and interchanges like that instead of a four-way stop? Instead, if it's a four-way stop, or maybe it's a yield. Right? Or maybe it's not a yield, it's just a two-way stop because you've got that kind of throughput. My point is that as you start looking at what's best for the county, then all of a sudden you start understanding, you know, how to manage infrastructure. It's the same thing with commerce and businesses. It's the same thing with property. It's the same thing with the press and the media in your local community. It's the same thing with the elections. It's the same thing with your legal system, of common law. Why aren't we using that? Or even healthcare or community security. The education committee. What the heck is going on in your schools? Why aren't they teaching the Constitution? or even events. Events are huge. Having lessons, we'll be right back.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I just kind of gave you a review of these committees. Now, there could be more committees. Some of these committees can kind of wait. Maybe you live in a county that doesn't have any press or media. Okay, so it's not necessarily for your county, but then you can have like a... a fundamental committee over your state press and media and start documenting. And this could be a side committee where, you know, people can be members of more than just one committee, because let's say the work that you have under one committee, like being the chair of the press and media, may not include anybody else, but maybe a co-chair. And the two of you working together in documenting, you know, how the press of the state, both the, you know, the TV as well as the newspapers, are, you know, spreading propaganda. And as you start documenting this, you can actually start proving that your press is actually operating as a hostile entity within our republic. We have the ability to regulate the press. You got questions on that? We can go into how constitutionally you have a right at the state to regulate the press. Okay? So if you don't believe me, you can participate in these dial-ins. We'll go through these questions. But back to these two people, as they just kind of make highlights and notes, because you don't have anything really for the county, and so it's more of just kind of state, you're just capturing that, then that's fine. Then that person can also probably participate as the infrastructure co-chair and or chair, or get involved in the infrastructure or the vetting committee. You can have multiple committee assignments. As you look at our servants in the House of Representatives or even in the state legislature, many of your public servants are working multiple committees. This gives you, one, an appreciation. This gives everybody an understanding that we all can and have the ability to be involved in multiple things in our lives. It doesn't have to consume us. It doesn't have to become a full-time job. It really doesn't take much. So as you start going down these paths of documenting and how to move forward, this is kind of going to be some discovery. And there's going to be some counties that will, you know, develop some really elaborate ways of how to capture and do this without having to do a lot of work yourselves. As a matter of fact, guess what? Your county already kind of has, you know, this documentation of your infrastructure. Your county already has some of this stuff regarding healthcare. Your county already has, you know, a map, an overview of education. And so all of these types of things, if you have a good relationship with your county, then great. But if you don't, and you start finding real problems, and you can start digging in and using First Amendment petitions, then you can actually take over your county and then start changing what they're doing with education, what they're doing with infrastructure, what they're doing with businesses, the elections, so forth and so on. You know, don't forget, as Stalin said, I don't care how the people vote. I only care how the votes are counted, because I need to control the outcome, not what went in. Because when it comes down to when you have a body of three people and everybody knows that, you know, let's just go to a larger. There's five people. One person is going to be the chair of the committee, and everybody knows this one person is hated. Is not trusted. And that person happens to run the election, or a friend of theirs is the one that counts the votes. And that person comes along and says, okay, this guy won. And you go, no, let us see the votes. And then when you see the paper ballots, you go, oh, well, that's not what happened. How did he all of a sudden win? Because he controlled the person that counted the votes. If you're not in control of the process of counting your votes, then you have surrendered your sovereignty over your elections. Folks, this is a First Amendment petition. This is a First Amendment petition. You have a right to control those. And so in a representative government, you have, in some counties and states, they call them auditors. The auditor runs your election process. Well, if you don't like your auditor and you don't think that your auditor is doing a good job, or your auditor is surrendering the counting process to somebody else and can't account for themselves, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, you can go ahead and we'll use this Dominion stuff, but we need to validate, we need to be able to validate every vote. We want to make sure that the outcome matches that, because we cannot provide blind faith to technology or blind faith to partisans, because partisans and corruption, basically within the parties themselves, we will find corruption unless a party is bending over backwards in its transparency. Folks, we have all sorts of ways that you can start getting involved. And many of these things you're already getting educated and informed on these things. And the more you know, the more you get upset, and the more invigorated you get. Let's start uniting. Let's stop going down. Because even though we have these committees, and these committees may be myopic, like infrastructure, healthcare, education, and so forth, there is a larger view that as you participate in the body of the whole of your county, of this community, this unorganized militia that you're trying to create, the citizen vigilance effort, an organization, as you start looking and listening to what everybody's contributing, it helps you understand the magnitude of all of the problems instead of the one little myopic problem. Why is it that people have this propensity to just go and join the Second Amendment, folks, because they really love their guns? And then they don't realize that their education system has been completely sold out, and then they scratch their heads and go, what the heck happened? Why is it that my son is becoming a girl? Or my daughter becoming a boy, or something completely different? I mean, it's got that perverse. Folks, this is happening because we are allowing it. Because we're focused on only one thing instead of government. Government isn't just one little thing. Government is a... A fist isn't one finger. A fist is all five fingers clenched. And if you have 10 fingers, the bigger government's fist is, the bigger the punch. And I think you can start understanding this metaphor. So if you're only doing a one-finger clinch, then you're only hitting somebody with a single knuckle. But if you actually are fighting back on every part of the term as a unified, then your fist will be bigger and greater because you are the people. This is how we have been manipulated and how we've been divided, because we constantly dive down these paths that we have this propensity of passion for. Oh, you know, there's, you know, moms that care about, you know, medical freedom, moms that care about education, but they don't care about gun control. They don't care about environmental protection. They don't care about... Let me see. There's all of the energy. I mean, they don't care about the invasion. They only get involved. This shows you. Doesn't matter. I don't have to just pick on the Second Amendment. Any myopic group out there that focuses on one thing turns their back on everything else. Are you one of those people? Have I not convinced you? I mean, I do realize that this is a paradigm shift for some people, but I am speaking as clear as I possibly can. This isn't about you bailing out and checking out to become a sovereign citizen. We have to work together. The epitome of selfishness is going out and just protecting yourself. The epitome of a bad neighbor is somebody that's only out to protect themselves. We have to unite if we're going to defend our community. We have to. We have to. That doesn't mean, you know, that person has to. That means you, that person, and everybody else has to, because every weak link in our community can be exploited. And so this is why I talk about this collective conscience. A collective conscience is critical in bringing a community to a level of understanding to where we are working together in developing synergy as well as building upon symbiosis. In other words, symbiosis being mutually benefiting relationships, mutually benefiting. And synergy is, as we start working together, we're able to get far more done than just the individual efforts. Folks, we have all the power and we have the ability to do this. It's a matter of just getting educated, getting involved, and getting invigorated. And we're hoping that as we go through this, because in our next episode, I'm going to dive straight into, because I told you I would do this today and I didn't. I had a monologue to talk about parties and everything else. So we're going to dive into the roles within a constitutional county. And what we're going to talk about are these different roles that we kind of talked about as far as these committees and so forth. And so that you can kind of look at where everything else goes operationally or administratively so that you can understand that there's two sides of your organization. Okay, and so your organization has to have some administration, but you have to have operations or you'll die. I'm J.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.